Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and I am here with Mike. Today is Tuesday, June 9th, 2026, which means we are looking back at the biggest conversations from yesterday, June 8th. This is episode 421.
Hey everyone, we have a really fantastic lineup today. We are talking about the homogenization of startup web design, a fascinating cultural concept called dopamine frocking, a brilliantly simple hack to stop Apple Music from ruining your workflow, the death of the social network as we know it, and finally, a massive AI milestone with a 1 trillion parameter model hitting 1,000 tokens per second.
Let us jump right in with our first story. It was a Show HN post that got over 800 points, titled Performative UI, a React component library of design tropes. It was posted by Lejeune.
Yeah, this one really struck a chord. If you have looked at any AI startup website in the last couple of years, you know exactly what this is. It's that dark mode, bento box layout, maybe some glowing borders, and almost always some kind of slick ASCII art animation in the hero section. Performative UI is basically a tongue-in-cheek but fully functional library that lets you just drop these exact tropes right into your own project.
What I loved about the Hacker News comments on this is how it sparked a massive debate about why we even design sites this way. A user named AvaAir pointed out that they have built simple, straight-to-the-point websites, and people straight up told them they did not take the product seriously because it lacked these performative UI elements. It's almost like table stakes now.
Exactly. Another user, JS Dalton, called it a form of social signaling. Having this specific aesthetic proves you belong to the in-group of high-flying, successful AI hype projects. It tells investors and users that you know what the current vibe is. In fact, someone mentioned their colleague just vibe-coded a website using these exact tropes, and all the IT folks in the meeting thought it was the coolest thing ever.
But then you have the counter-argument, right? People brought up Craigslist, Amazon, and Temu. These sites are famously chaotic or outdated-looking, but they are incredibly popular. As one commenter put it, if your product is literally just saving people money, like Temu, you can get away with a terrible UI. But for a business-to-business software company, that first impression is everything.
It is funny, though, because another commenter pointed out that the homogeneity of the internet is kind of unavoidable. We all started with these wild, customized GeoCities pages with blink togs and wingdings, and now we're converging on this one true user experience. It reduces cognitive load, but it definitely squashes the personality out of the web.
Speaking of squashing the personality out of things, our next story is a blog post by a writer named Igman, titled Dopamine Fracking. It got over 750 points.
This was a brilliant read. The author coined the term dopamine fracking to describe what happens when immense, disproportionate resources like crowdsource math, analytics, and optimization are pumped into a casual or complex activity just to squeeze out the purest, most concentrated dopamine hit. And just like real fracking, it destroys the underlying environment.
The author uses a really beautiful metaphor about strawberries. A real strawberry has a complex flavor profile. It might be a little sour, a little firm, maybe imperfect, but the food industry extracts the single aromatic compound that smells and tastes the most like a strawberry, and they pump it into cheap candy. You get a massive hit of strawberry flavor, but you lose the texture, the nuance, and the actual experience of eating the fruit.
And they apply this metaphor to the internet. YouTube videos becoming too optimized, music becoming too formulaic, culture becoming totally commodified. The Hacker News comments went deep on this. A user named RPHV pointed out that humans are evolutionarily optimized to seek out these dense calories, whether it is sugar or dopamine. It was a survival trait that has now become detrimental.
The conversation inevitably turned to kids and YouTube. A commenter named Sheep's Creek brought up the bizarre, highly optimized content farms targeting young children. You know the ones, split screens, AI voiceovers, emotional manipulation telling kids to like and subscribe if they love their mom. It is terrifying.
It really is. It led to a debate about parental responsibility versus corporate regulation. Some people argued that you cannot blame YouTube if you hand an 8-year-old an iPod, but others pointed out that we are basically building a torment nexus for children. When billion-dollar companies are spending endless resources to hijack human psychology, relying purely on individual willpower or helicopter parenting feels like a losing battle.
Absolutely. The author of the post mentioned they are slowly turning off the dopamine fracking in their own life, deleting feeds, setting boundaries. It's a good reminder that we actually have the power to close the tap.
Our third story is a perfect palate cleanser. It is a tool called Music Decoy by Low Tech Guys. The title of the post was simply, "Stop the Apple Music app from launching."
If you use a Mac, you know this pain. You hit the play button on your keyboard or your Bluetooth headphones connect, and suddenly the system Apple Music app bounces in your dock and launches itself, even if you were trying to play a YouTube video or Spotify.
It is infuriating, but the solution here is so incredibly elegant. Music Decoy is an app that does absolutely zero work in the background. It just sits there running. The trick is that it uses the exact same bundle identifier as the official Apple Music app. So when the macOS remote control daemon sees you press play, it checks if Apple Music is running. It sees the decoy, thinks the app is already open, and does not launch the real one.
It is a zero-code hack. A commenter named JXMorris12 pointed out how beautiful this is. They said you have to understand a system very deeply to reach this level of elegance. And it sparked a really interesting side conversation about AI coding agents.
Right. Someone said that an AI agent would never come up with this. An AI would probably write a heavy, overpowered script that pulls your system every millisecond, looking for the music app, and then forcefully kills the process. It takes a human to step back, understand the architecture, and just create a ghost app to trick the operating system.
Though, to be fair, another user countered that if you used the AI as a research companion to understand why the app was launching, it might lead you to this exact solution. But beyond the technical elegance, the comments were just full of people mourning the death of iTunes.
Oh yeah, people are so frustrated with how Apple has pushed the cloud subscription model. Users were sharing stories about trying to just sync local files to their iPhones and how the app constantly tries to push them into the cloud or replaces their local files with remastered, compressed versions from Apple servers. One person even said they are just going to vibe code their own local music player and be done with it.
That actually ties nicely into our fourth story, which is a BBC article titled Antisocial. It is fads, not friends, which now dominate social media feeds.
This article highlights what we have all been feeling. Platforms like Instagram and Facebook used to be about seeing what your friends were up to. Now they are essentially algorithmic television. You are served professionally made short-form video content from people you do not know, optimized entirely to keep you scrolling.
The stats in the article are wild. In the US, only 33% of users post daily now, compared to 57% who just use the apps for passive entertainment. For Gen Z, it is even more stark. They're spending up to 5 hours a day on these apps, but they are not posting. They are just watching.
The Hacker News comment section got really meta with this one. A user named Auroranus pointed out that the way people use Facebook now, anonymously scrolling for content discovery, is not that different from how we use Hacker News. It reignited the classic debate about whether Hacker News itself is social media.
Yes, and they dug up a really cool piece of Hacker News history. Back in 2010, Hacker News added a feature called No Procrast, which stands for no procrastination. It's still in your profile settings today. You can set a maximum visit time, like 20 minutes, and a minimum away time, like 3 hours. If you try to visit the site outside of those bounds, it literally locks you out.
It is amazing that Hacker News recognized the addictive nature of social news 15 years ago. But the conversation also touched on what this constant scrolling is doing to our brains. A user named Overguard said they rarely feel outright bored anymore, but instead, everything in life just feels sort of boredom-tinted. They told a story about a power outage where, instead of being annoyed, they felt a profound sense of relief.
Another commenter chimed in, saying their favorite memory was a day-long power outage where neighbors actually came outside, barbecued together before the meat went bad, and played board games by candlelight. It's that dopamine fracking we talked about earlier. When the feed goes down, we're forced to actually be social again.
Well, our final story today is going to make that feed move even faster. The title is MIMO version 2.5 Pro Ultra Speed, a 1 trillion parameter model with 1,000 tokens per second.
This is a huge announcement from Xiaomi. 1,000 tokens per second for a model of this massive scale is genuinely hard to wrap your head around. The blog post argues that at this speed, it's not just a faster tool, it's a complete paradigm shift.
Exactly. When a model is this fast, it can run dozens of reasoning paths in parallel in the background, doing tree search and self-correction instantly. It means AI can finally enter real-time decision loops, like high-frequency trading, live anti-fraud interception, or even surgical assistance, where milliseconds actually matter.
The Hacker News comments were a mix of awe and a little bit of existential dread. A user named Goyozi said, "Fast AI seems genuinely exciting, but somewhat unsettling." They talked about how they used to start an AI task that would take an hour, so they would go multitask. Now, the workflow is becoming near instant.
Yeah, another user joked about using a fast coding agent. They said they'd give the agent a boring task, think to themselves, "I will just leave the agent to do it and go take a nap," but the code is completely finished before they even stand up from their chair.
It is wild to think about, and there was a really funny observation in the thread about how these models still hallucinate traditional software development timelines. An agent will spit out a project plan saying, part one will take 2 weeks and part two will take a month, but then you just tell it to do the actual work and it finishes the entire roadmap in 30 minutes.
It is like the AI is trying to manage our expectations the way a human contractor would. But seriously, the speed unlocks so much. People in the comments were debating if pure speed beats a smarter but slower model like Claude Opus. The consensus seems to be that if you have high domain knowledge and can quickly steer the AI, having lightning-fast iteration cycles is way more valuable than waiting 20 minutes for a slightly better initial guess.
It really feels like we are crossing a threshold where the bottleneck is no longer the machine's generation speed, but our own human ability to read and comprehend what it is producing.
That is a great point, and probably a good place to wrap up for today. It is definitely a brave new world out there.
It really is. Thank you all for joining us for episode 421 of HN Pod. If you want to read any of the articles or dive into the comment threads we discussed, you can find them on the front page of Hacker News from yesterday, June 8th, 2026.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories, trends, and debates from the tech world. Until then, maybe turn on that no-procrast setting and go enjoy the real world for a bit. Catch you later.
Bye, everyone.